they start praying real hard in tongues. You know, they just start praying real hard, and it's almost like they're just trying to work something up or think that they have to do something. How many of you know when God's pouring out, all you got to do is receive? Yeah, I have to work something up. I went up there, and my one thing was this. I'm staying here till God gets to pour in me everything He wants to pour in me. I probably stood there for about 5 minutes, just not praying, not doing anything, and just, thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for more. Thank you for more. Thank you, God. And you know what He kept doing? He kept honoring my thanks. And He kept pouring in more and pouring in more and pouring in more. And then after a bit, a guy by the name of Rusty came over and he prayed for me. And he prayed a while. And then finally, how many of you know there's a difference between yielding to the Holy Spirit and being slain in the Spirit? There's a big difference between the two. Getting slain in the Spirit is like you got no choice. You're going down. Bam! And sometimes when people get slain in the Spirit, they just crumple. Their knees just go out. They might go forward. They might go sideways. They might go backwards. But they're going down. But yielding to the Holy Spirit, you can sense the presence. Oh, He's here. How many of you sense Him right now? He's here. He's here. And you're in a prayer line and you're getting prayed for. And a person's got a hands laid on you. And you can just, oh. He's here. You know what? You could keep standing up if you wanted to. Or you can just yield and hit the floor. Amen? And just hang out on the floor for a while. Now, how many of you know we're in a church that's in a big hurry? We're just in a hurry. We're in a hurry to do announcements. We're in a hurry to do offering. We're in a hurry. Because we got to get it. How many of you know we're not in a hurry? Not when we get hanging out with the presence of God. You can hang out. David can lay on the floor all day if he wants to. Amen. We're not in a hurry. And when if we have room to minister to people, that's the thing. Just enjoy. Just lay there and receive. Just take in. Amen. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. Turn and look at somebody and say, I got boldness. I got boldness. Amen. Hallelujah. I ministered to a friend a while back, and we just didn't hurry in time of prayer. It was here in the church just about 3-4 months ago. And as I was praying for them and stuff, I was making them say some things. They didn't necessarily like saying the things I was making them saying. And then they said to me, you're not going to back off, are you? No, I'm not. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going with this. The Holy Spirit was just leading. And what's so beautiful about that is the Holy Spirit has continued to work for months afterwards and just keeps working in the revelation and the knowledge and the insight that my friend is getting. It's just a beautiful thing. So let the Holy Spirit keep working in you. Amen. Just He's working in you. Hallelujah. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. That's one of my favorite verses of Scripture. God is at work in me. I mean, you know, that's good right there. God is at work in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Glory to God. Just think about it. Not only does He put the will, but He puts the do. He gives us His will and then the do. Then the strength to get it done. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, Father, right now as we turn to Your word and minister and share some more, thank You that the Holy Spirit keeps working. He keeps working in us. And thank You for that spirit of wisdom and revelation that's at work in our hearts and our minds right now. And as we read Your word, truth and revelation and insight and understanding comes to our hearts. Thank You for utterance in the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the life that's in Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Amen. I want to talk about, I got a phrase and I shared a little bit of this on Wednesday night at Kenny and Francis's house. And we had a beautiful time down there at their place with the Wednesday night service. It was just great. And I want to tell you what, Kenny knows how to cook a hamburger. Oh, my goodness, I had two. And they're like that thick. Cooked to perfection. It is absolutely awesome. It was a great time. Just so peaceful at their place. Absolutely peaceful. So wonderful time on Wednesday night. Thank you, Kenny and Francis, for that Hallelujah. And then Diane and I were blessed. Bob and Lisa jumped in and rode down with us and back. And I tell you what, you want to talk about a treat. Where's Bob? Bob's right over there. Yeah, hallelujah. Lisa's ministering to the children, but that is a treat. How many of you know in today's world with as much stuff as going on, when you get a chance to be with a good friend and hang out for a while, that's a treat. Praise God. So what a blessing. But what I talked about down there was this. And the title this morning, it could have two titles, a two-part. That's enough. That's enough. And then the other perspective might be this. It's enough. It's enough. And I just, from this perspective, I think about Jesus. I think about the beating that he took. I think about the lashes that were put on his back. I think about that crown of thorns that was stuffed over his head, you know. And I think about the people who spit on him. I think about the punches that he took and all of that he went through. And then he goes to hell. And I'm convinced that there's, just if you will, indulge me a little bit here, that there was a point in time where God said, that's enough. That's enough. No more. You will not lay another hand on him. He has satisfied the demands of justice, and that's enough. That's enough. I feel like that just vibrates. That's enough. There's that old Carmen song where, the champion. It's long. It's like 8 minutes long. Haven't heard it in a long time, but I love a scene at the end, and, you know, they're down in hell, and Jesus is fighting with the enemy, and all of a sudden, God starts counting. And it's not like one, two, it's 10. 9, 8, 7. And you can hear the demons in the background going, no, God, you're counting wrong. You're counting backwards. It gets to 1. That's where God said, that's enough. That's enough. So there's that perspective of that's enough. And then there's another perspective of that's enough. Or it's enough. And that's from our viewpoint. It's from our viewpoint. It's where we look at Jesus and revelation and insight and knowledge and understanding comes to us. And we realize, it's enough. It's enough. Turn and look at somebody and say, it's enough. He did enough. He was enough. This friend of mine who I was talking about that I prayed for, three, 4 months ago, They started to share all the different lies that would come into their mind that the enemy would throw at them. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You don't have anything to say. Nobody likes you. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. You know, you don't matter. Your family tolerates you. How many of us have heard, you know, all kinds of things like that over the years in our mind? Not necessarily from some human being, maybe from some human being, but it'll run wild in our mind at times. And one of the things that God shared with my friend was this. All of those things were allowed to have place and allowed to be able to run free because there wasn't the understanding of the fact that Jesus is enough. And once that revelation hit their heart and hit their mind that it's enough, then they could put all of those things to rest. They could just lay all those things down and go, you know what? He's enough. He's enough. Turn and look at somebody and say, he's enough. How many of us could say, yeah, it's enough. He's enough. Glory to God. Thank you, Father God, that Jesus is enough. Now, we'll keep going, but I just want to look at this a little bit. If you would, please, from last week, Romans chapter 3. This is, I've just meditated on this all week long and ponder it. It's just going to pick a couple of verses out of here and highlight a few definitions. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. It's enough. I just like that. If all week long you go throughout your week all week long thinking about how God said it's enough. It's enough. And then you just think about, yeah, it's enough. You know, that was enough. That was enough, Jesus. You don't have to do any more. Amen. But verse 24, Romans chapter 3. And being justified freely. Say freely. What's freely mean? Without cost. Without cost. No cost to you. Your justification was no cost to you. That's good already. Being justified. Justified means declared righteous in the sight of God. Being declared righteous in the sight of God at no cost to you. Amen. Glory. I tell you what, we're already on shouting territory. That's good news already. Declared righteous in the sight of God at no cost to you by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. I just like that word and the meaning of that word. It just blesses me so much. The appeasement of divine wrath by a sacrificial offering. I just love that. Can you hear? That's enough. See, I can hear that's enough. Because of what Jesus Christ did. The appeasement of divine wrath. Jesus satisfied. Jesus met the demands. And where they were met, that's enough. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm quite certain at that moment, the atmosphere changed. Wow. You ever have someone speak into a situation and it just changed everything? I believe this did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. I'd like you now to go to your Bibles, please, in your Bibles, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 11, and I'm going to do my best. I've got a translation, and I wasn't able to locate it yesterday. It's called the Phillips Translation, and I love it when it talks about these verses of Scripture. But just these scriptures have to do with that's enough. That's enough. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians 2, 11. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. I love that. Did you know that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you? I tell you what, that same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. He's in you. He's in you. Do you think if hell could have, hell would have held Jesus down? But you know what? It couldn't. It couldn't. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He's at work in you. Glory to God. How about we just tap into that? How about when all those thoughts are running through our head saying, not good enough, not this, not that, can't do anything right, da-da-da-da-da. We just go, you know what? That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in me. He's living in me. He's quickening my mortal body. My brain is part of my mortal body. Did you know your brain is part of your mortal body? You know what? I got a fantastic brain. I got a good brain. Why? Because it's quickened by the Holy Ghost. You were wondering why I'm so sharp and so witty and so quick. Well, that's why. It's the Holy Ghost. Yeah, okay. All right. Somebody caught my joke. Okay. Praise God. Amen. Verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made. Everybody say has made. Well, then you are, right? He has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out, this is what I want to get to, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, having made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. How many of you here? That's enough. There was a point, I'll tell you what, I just like that. The scripture talks about in the Phillips translation how Jesus Christ took the sting of all the arsenal that was arrayed against us. For me being a kid, you know, I'm still a kid. Amen, come on. I still have that kid mind. I still think like that. You know what I think of when I see an arsenal arrayed against? I think of Daffy Duck. I think of Bugs Bunny. I think of Elmer Fudd. I think of them hunting. And all of a sudden you see about how many different shotguns and all kinds of things come up over the range at the one little bunny. And this whole arsenal that's arrayed against them. Did you know that there was an arsenal arrayed against us? And we were the ones that created that arsenal and gave it to the enemy. It was all of our sins and all of our transgressions. They were all arrayed against us. They were all aimed at us. They had a legal right to come against us. But you know what he did? He wiped them out. He wiped every one of them out. Glory to God. Turn and look at somebody and say, he wiped them all out. They're all gone. They're all gone. Listen to this verse in the Passion Translation. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Just listen to this. He canceled out every legal violation we had on record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He canceled out every legal violation. We some of us had a lot of them. Turn and look at somebody and say, yeah, now he's talking to you. See, some of us just talk about our past things more than others do. But I tell you what, there's folks got a lot of them. Mm-hmm. He has canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Glory to God. Turn and look at somebody and say, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Praise God. It's enough. Cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto the cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Public display of cancellation. Thank you, Jesus. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. You know the only thing that Satan has? Lies. He doesn't have anything on you. That's dancing territory. He ain't got nothing on me. I can walk into that courtroom. You can walk into that courtroom. How many of you here have ever had to walk into a courtroom? And you are the one standing in front of the judge. How many of you know that when they ain't got nothing on you, and your attorney is the best, and the judge is your father, your attorney's your big brother, and they got nothing on you, how many of you know you can walk into that courtroom rather bold? You can walk into that courtroom rather confident. Because your accuser, he's got nothing on you. Nothing on you. They could look and look and look all they want, but he's got nothing on you. Turn and look at somebody and say, they got nothing on me. They got nothing on you. Praise God. Why? It was enough. It was enough from both perspectives. From God's perspective, yeah, that's enough. How about from your perspective? From your perspective, will you say, it's enough. It's enough, Jesus. It's enough. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm gonna just jump to the end of my sermon. I cannot believe how fast I'm winding this thing down. Somebody say, God is good. Amen, because I can get to the end real well here, real easy I can get to the end. But how about this? You know, keep those two thoughts. God saying, that's enough. From your perspective, you're going, it's enough. Okay? Now I want you to think about this. Okay, well, if that's enough and it's enough, what's my part? Do I have a part? Do I have a part? Let me just tell you your part. To walk in harmony with what Jesus has done. Amen? That's your part. Just to walk in harmony with what he's done. Hey, babe, will you come up here? Just walking in harmony. Just walking in harmony. How tough is this? Just walking in harmony. Amen? You want to know what your part is? Walk in harmony with the Father. Because what Jesus did, it's enough. It's enough. And you can walk in harmony. You can just walk with Him. You can just enjoy your fellowship with Him. You can just walk in harmony with Him. Amen? How hard was that? Easy. Were you a bit nervous at first? Sort of, yeah. Amen. You know, and how many of you know you can take and preach that? I guarantee you, people will be a little bit nervous to actually, I can walk in harmony. I can walk in harmony with God. He and I can go walking hand in hand through the garden. And I tell you what, at first it can feel a little nerve-wracking. But then you reach out and you take his hand and you go, what Jesus did, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Walk in harmony with him. Now, that was really easy, right? But now I have 27 steps on how to walk in harmony with him. No, I don't. How about if I give you the number one, the primary, the most important element of walking in harmony with him that will then impact and affect all the other areas of life. How if we just keep this down to one? Okay? We just keep it down to one. Here's one of the biggest things. Here's the one that I would put at the top of the list in walking in harmony with him. Take your Bible and open up to the book of James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3. And I'm so serious about this. I really am. James, chapter 3. We'll read verse 2 for sure, and then maybe we'll read down through verse 12. And you know, we can relate to this. I love the Scripture because I can relate to the Scripture. I mean, it speaks to me. It talks to me because I can relate to it because it talks about life. For we all stumble in many things. How many of you can relate to that? See, I told you we could. We can relate to it. You know what? Don't pretend. Don't pretend with God. As a pastor, I have people trying to impress me. Quit it. Well, let me look around. Is anybody? Nah, there ain't anybody in here trying to impress me. Praise God. But as a pastor, I run across people and they try to impress me. Quit it! Don't! It ain't going to do any good anyway. We can just go ahead and be who we are. Warts and all. Amen? We all stumble. Yeah, I do. I make mistakes. Do you know how many mistakes I might make on any given Sunday? I gave up counting. The number got pretty high. I just decided to quit counting. I make so many mistakes, recovery is really easy. I'm practiced at it. I'm real good at it. How about you? And I don't get all that bent out of shape because I make mistakes. There's a big difference between a mistake and a sin, a willful sin. Amen? Don't beat yourself up over mistakes. Don't beat yourself up because you stumbled. Amen? You know what happens? You know what some people do? I'm not going to fall on the ground. I don't want to. Somebody want to fall on the ground for me and be my illustration? I'm getting too old to get up. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, people stumble, and they maybe fall down, and then they just lay there in their stumble. They just talk about their stumble. I'd do an illustration. I didn't think it would fit in here. But those of you that have heard it before, thank you for bearing with me and putting up with my illustrations. But how many of you have ever had a flat tire on your car? You're going down the road and you had a flat tire on your car. How many of you did this when you were driving down the road? Maybe you've seen this, but I'm hoping nobody in here has done this. But you're driving down the road and you go, I got a flat. And you keep right on driving. I got a flat. I got a flat. I got a flat. You reach over, you turn over, and you tell your spouse, I got a flat. You look in the rear and you tell your kids, we got a flat. And you just keep riding going down the road. I got a flat, I got a flat, I got a flat. And then you just keep right on going. And you don't deal with the flat. You know what? Sometimes we need to deal with stuff. Okay? But then there's people that do this. You know, there's those folks that'll ignore it. And then there's the people that do this. They got a flat. And they pull that car over really quick. I got a flat. I got a flat. I got a flat. Oh my good, I got a flat. I stumbled. I got a flat. I got a flat. People drive by on the highway. Hey, I got a flat. And they stand there and they talk about their flat. They want to point their flat out to everybody. I got a flat. I got a flat. You know what? When I stumble, I don't keep talking about my flat. You know, don't drive down the highway ignoring your flat. And don't pull your car over and just park on the side of the road and stare at your flat. How many of you think both of those are pretty ridiculous? Amen? They're pretty sad. What do? You pop the trunk. You get the tools out. You go to work. Amen? You jack the car up. You take the lug nuts off. You put the new tire on. You fix the flat. What do? You know what I do when I stumble? I go to the trunk. I go to the toolbox. I start digging out the tools. And I start dealing with the flat. Amen? Hallelujah. That was free. Just so you know, that was free right there. That little illustration and all, you can have that at no charge. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, say if he does not stumble in word. If he does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. How many of you, sometimes that word perfect throws you? It can throw you. It's like, perfect. What if we said this, mature? Because see, many of you might have it in your Bibles where there's a little T or something beside that word perfect, and you can go into the margin and you'll find mature. How many of you could go, well, yeah, mature, I can hook up with that. How many of you would find that a little bit easier to hook up with than perfect? Okay. A mature man, now watch this, able also to bridle, what? The whole body. See, I'm giving you one. One part in walking in harmony with God. The tongue, the mouth, our words.
Focus on that one. Focus on that one. And what is it going to have an effect on? The whole body. You know what? That one will have an effect on your whole life. Every aspect of your life is impacted and affected by your words. Wow. Look at somebody and say, he's just given me one thing. Not 27, praise God. Just one. Okay, I'm going to focus in on my mouth. Well, that's too simple. Start doing it. You know, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier for boldness. It starts coming up out at the checkout stand, sitting at the table, having a conversation with some folks maybe you've never met before, and something, and then instead of letting the tongue say what should be said, we stop it. Amen? Let me just read a little bit more. For indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, that we may turn their whole body. Hallelujah. Ron and Jennifer, you guys just got to do this, didn't you? They had a blessed time. How many days did you get to be gone? They were gone about 6 days. They went over into Yellowstone. They had a guide. And then, I don't know, how many were there in the group? Eight people in the group. They jumped on horses. And 16 miles into Yellowstone, seeing beauty of God's creation that few will get to see. And trout. That's part of that creation. Amen. Crystal clear water. I mean, they got to do that. And one of the things that I know about the horses, when you bridle a horse, because that's what they rode on, you know what bridling that horse does? Two things. He doesn't get to go where he wants to go. And then the other part of bridling that horse is, now he's going to go where you want him to go. See, if we bridle our tongue, we don't let it go wherever it wants to go. And the other part of it, it has to go where we want it to go. How many of you know you can bridle your tongue? You can bridle your tongue. Now, how many of you know you can get a little help? How many of you know God will help you? Amen. Husbands and wives, pray for your spouse that God will help them. Amen. Moms and dads, pray for your children that God will help them. Or you'll help him with them bridling their tongue. Amen. But you can bridle that tongue. We can with God's help. Set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. This one thing now, last verse of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3. You're close. 1 Peter chapter 3. Doing okay? Somebody say, it's enough. It's enough. Somebody say, that's enough. Amen? You got God's perspective. That's enough. From your perspective, Jesus, it's enough. You did enough. You did enough. Now here's my part. Grab a hold of my tongue. Grab a hold of the words of my mouth. And that is going to impact all areas of my life. I love it. James chapter 3. No. Sorry. Thank you. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. No. Where did chapter 3? I apologize, you guys. Chapter 3. I'm so glad I never stumble. I'm so glad I never make any mistakes, especially in front of a room as they're standing watching and listening. You know, I just never make any mistakes. I never play the wrong note on the piano. Never hit the wrong drum, you know, when I'm drumming. Never happens. Just always do everything perfect. No. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 8. Finally. All of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted and courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this. Isn't that cool? People, what's my calling? How's this work? You're called to bless people. You want to know one of the greatest ways to bless people? Speak God's word to them
in the middle of their storm, in the middle of their trial. Speak His word to them. I'll never forget it. One time I walked into Willis and Joan Dunnick's house and reached out my hand and shook Joan's hand and gave her a hug, and just scripture just came out of my mouth. Just started quoting scripture to her, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, what a blessing to be greeted by the word of God." Just I tell you what, you want to talk about one of the greatest ways to bless somebody else is speak God's word into and over their situation and their life. Tell them who they are in Christ. Hallelujah. And I was called to this. Why? That I might inherit a blessing. I like the Bible. I like it a lot. How many of you like the thought of inheriting a blessing? How many of you think God knows how to bless? Yeah, He knows how to bless. That's what we're called to. Hand out blessings that we might inherit a blessing. Verse 10. For he who would love life. Everybody say love life. He who would love life and see good days. Say see good days. How many of you are standing in that line? That's the line I'm in. I'm in the line where I love life and I see good days. Did you know God cares about this stuff? Isn't that crazy? He put this in His book. He put the thought of you loving life. Doesn't sound to me like He's a killjoy. It doesn't sound to me like everything is supposed to be drudgery and misery and just trudging things out. No, that you would love life. Turn and look at somebody and say, love life. See good days. Oh, that sounds thrilling. See good days. Love life and see good days. What are good days? I'll let you answer that. He who would love life and see good days, do what? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I'm just giving us the number one thing, what we do to walk in harmony with Him. The words of our mouth. The words of my mouth. The words of your mouth. Amen? How many of you want to love life and see good days? Okay. Restrain your lips. Restrain them. Don't let them say whatever they want to do. He who would love life and see good days, let him restrain his tongue from evil. Let me just ask one question. What's evil? It's a great question. If I'm not supposed to speak evil, what's evil? How about if we just do this? Anything that argues with and doesn't agree with God's word. That's evil. That's evil. So, okay, I got it. I'm not going to go say anything about me or about you that doesn't line up with God's word. And I'm going to make my mouth say stuff about you, about me, that comes from His word. And guess what I'm doing? Walking in harmony. Walking in harmony. How many of you know the words of your mouth will affect your whole body? They'll affect your whole life. Amen. It's a lot better walking in harmony with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's enough. It's enough. I'm walking in harmony. I got to thinking about this week. Did you know that God does not have everything He wants? He doesn't have everything He wants, even though He is God, even though He is all-powerful, even though He is all-knowing. He doesn't have everything He wants. Isn't it crazy to think that God has wants? And as I ponder this and think about it, I can think about something that He wants, and the only way He gets it is if people give it to Him. The only way that God can have a relationship with individuals is when individuals give Him a relationship with them. I don't know about you, but I think that's crazy. I think that is a wild thought. I think about all those years that God wanted to have a relationship with me. And He tried. He tried. He would speak to me by His Spirit, Before I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't go to church. But he would, by his Spirit, he would speak to my heart. He would speak to my understanding. He'd move on me, and he wanted to have a relationship with me. And he tried. He tried. I can remember one time going down the stairs. I was by Crazy Horse. I can't explain the whys or all of that stuff or anything. But just, I just knew that there was this being who wanted a friendship with me. I didn't know what to do about it. Happened to me a couple of different times in my life. And I heard a John Wimber testimony. John Wimber played for the Righteous Brothers. How many of you heard the Righteous Brothers? And the Righteous Brothers were going on tour before the Beatles, but John Wimber had gotten born again and declined the tour. There's more to his story than that. But he made this testimony. He shared it. There was a couple of things, and I can remember one. I can remember them both now. Where two things that witnessed to him over his life. God wanting to have a relationship with him. One was he grew up where there was a depression. And there was a sign outside of a store, and the sign said, "Jesus saves." And it was the depression time. And John Wimber goes, "I wonder what he saves. Tinfoil? Paper clips?" See, that's the understanding he had, of God. Jesus saves. What's he save? Old cars? What's he save? And then the other one was this. How many of you remember those sandwich board advertisements that people would put on them? It's a rainy day. He's out in California. It's a rainy day. And this hippie guy is walking down the street in the rain. And he's got one of them sandwich boards on. And the front of it said, "I'm a fool for Christ." And John was standing under a little awning. And he watches that guy walk by. "I'm a fool for Christ." And then he kept watching as he went by. And he read the back of it. And it said, "Whose fool are you?" Those were the two things that witnessed to him. And then at a Bible study. Eating cookies and drinking milk and studying the Bible, he met Jesus. And he said this, "Oh, that's you. That's you. That's you were the one talking to me. That was you trying to have a relationship with me." And when he said that, I went, "Yeah, I remember going down the stairs. Yeah, I remember. That's you. That's you." Guess when God, Jesus, got to have relationship with me? When I said yes. Guess when he got to have relationship with you? When you said yes. See, that's something that he wants. But it's up to the individual. If you're in this place today, well, that's a silly way that comes out wrong. If you, yeah. Because you are in this place today, right? Amen. Have you said yes? Have you said yes to relationship with Jesus? See, because you can say no. You can say no. And you don't have that relationship. And he wants it. And you can say yes. You can say yes. He'll keep working. Did you know I had to ask, many of you know this, I had to ask my wife 3 times to marry me. She said yes, and then she canceled it. She said yes, and then she canceled it. And then she said yes, and we, got married real quick right away. I wasn't waiting for a cancellation. Actually, you want to know what happened between the first two and the third one? I said yes to Jesus. Had relationship with him. My wife in that process of time said, "Jesus, I'm back." Yeah. Hallelujah. Have you said yes? Have you said yes? Are you at a place where you need to say, "Okay, I'm coming back. I'm coming back." Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. And if I can get the prayer team to come on up to the altar. For those of you who are visiting, this is just how we close our service. We have a prayer team, and people will come on up here, and they'd be ready to pray with you. They'll be ready to pray with you. They love praying for people. Miracles take place up here. God does things all the time. He answers prayer. Okay. I do those first two things first. Have you said yes to Jesus? If you've never said yes to Jesus, I invite you, when we're praying with people and praying for people, just to come on up here and talk to one of the folks up here and say, I want to say yes to Jesus. Will you help me? Will you introduce me to Jesus? And they will. They'll pray with you. And maybe you're going to say, you know, I walked with him once, but I've walked away and I just want to come back. And they'll pray with you. They'll pray with you. And maybe you have need of healing in your body. Maybe you need wisdom and direction in something. God is a giving God. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm. You're in the middle of a situation. You know, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Maybe you're just simply in a time of need. You have a need and you need some help. You don't have to do it by yourself. Amen. The altar's open. It's open. And I'm going to pray. We're going to close the service down. We're not shutting down church. Church isn't over. How many of you know church keeps right on living on? Amen. Doesn't close at 11:30. Because you are the church. And you just keep right on going. Amen. Hallelujah. And when I get done praying, you can come up to the altar right now. You can come up while I'm praying. But once I get done praying, service is over. Go downstairs and have some caramel rolls and have some fellowship and some joy and be blessed. Amen. Go on out into your day and realize that when you leave this building, you step into the mission field. When you walk out of this building, you step into the mission field. Amen. You're on a mission. I'm on a mission from God. Hallelujah. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you said, that's enough. And Father, we realize what Jesus did, it's enough. And Father, we, for our part, will walk in harmony with you by speaking what you would have us to speak and by not saying what we shouldn't say. And Father, for people in this building, if there's anyone in here and they've never said yes to God to start that relationship, today they would. If there's anyone in here who's never, they've walked with Jesus, but they haven't been lately and they want to come back, thank you. Father, if there's someone in here and they just have need in their life, they want to come up and have someone pray with them and stand with them, that happens and takes place. We thank you, Father, and we praise you, give you all the glory and the honor. And as we get ready to go downstairs in fellowship or go on with our day or up to the altar, whatever it is, we give you praise and we thank you that you are at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, those of you that want prayer, don't miss out. Hallelujah.